You used to just get up. Now it's a whole production. Let's change that. Get to Joint Relief Institute for fast, immediate pain relief. Covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Niall Stanage is the White House reporter at The Hill. Colin McShane isn't with us today. I'm glad you are, Niall. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
I felt that yesterday. I was actually talking to some colleagues and trying to prep myself for what the president might say last night. And then, having witnessed what the president said last night, I felt that the topic is less pressing today. Just give me your thoughts about the president's speech last night.
My thoughts, in short, are that it didn't really live up to the hype that we had heard from some of his supporters beforehand. There was not really, in my view, some kind of compelling evidence of a major scandal or anything that was going to validate his previously voiced false claims of election fraud. Now, he raises issues about the overall security of the system. Maybe that will be compelling to some people. But certainly in the context of the 2020 election, obviously we're talking about events almost 6 years ago. And I'm not sure that's where most persuadable voters are in terms of their priorities.
Of course, he was trying to maybe segue or jujitsu the concern about the 2020 election to the SAVE Act. I suppose that might have been his ultimate goal there, right?
Yes, certainly. And in fact, he did explicitly call for passage of the so-called Save America Act. He has so far been frustrated in that effort. I mean, as you know, the legislation there has not passed the Senate or come particularly close to passing the Senate, but he is arguing that it is unnecessary. Critics are highly skeptical of that legislation, viewing it as some combination of a power grab by him and potentially a voter suppression mechanism via the demand, not only for voter ID, but for proof of citizenship, which is a more arduous requirement.
It seemed to me like he is yet trying to find the means by which he can pressure the Senate to bend to his will. And by the way, the American people's will. Isn't it interesting that as unpopular as this legislation is in the Senate, and the Senate has certainly been willing to do the president's bidding, Americans also seem to want at least the tenets of the Save America Act. I still think the bill itself is onerous. It's just too much. But in general, people do say that they don't mind the idea that you would have to better identify yourself to vote. It's an interesting contrast or conundrum, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that also it is notable that the president often sells the Save America Act on exactly the basis you noted, voter ID, which is broadly popular. Now, it becomes more politically complicated when you talk about other elements within the act. As I was saying, the proof of citizenship, for example, it's estimated that around 23 million Americans don't have ready access to documents that prove their citizenship. There are also precursors to that idea that have been done on the state level with very, very mixed results. Kansas had a similar rule or law about a decade ago, and it was actually struck down by the courts because what was happening was a lot of American citizens who were legitimately eligible to vote were finding their applications to register delayed or blocked because of sort of malfunctions in the system.
One of my colleagues on a podcast I host here, it's called The Mincing Rascals, did at least suggest to the gang, and I think there's room to hear this argument out, that there should be some sort of national rule about vote counting, say, and that wasn't really what the president was talking a lot about last night, but witness what happened in California. Illinois has a different law or rule than Indiana, and maybe we should, but this distrust of the counting and the voting in America, stoked by the president, would at least be tamped down a little bit if we were to have some sort of national regulation. You know what I mean?
Well, would it, though, I guess, is the question. I mean, the president has stoked that lack of confidence because he doesn't want to accept that he lost to Joe Biden in 2020. The evidence is overwhelming that he lost to Joe Biden in 2020, and when he has presented the arguments against that, they have been struck down by the courts or otherwise proven to be unfounded. So the question then is, would he, for example, draw in his horns a bit if there were a unified system of counting votes nationwide? I'm not persuaded that he would. That, of course, is different from whether there is a case to be made on the merits for a uniform way of counting votes. There may be, but then, of course, you run afoul of the law or the practice where elections in the United States are, in their administration, devolved in a very significant way to states and local...
Well, sure, you run afoul of the Constitution if you federally try and tell states how to run their elections. I thought maybe his purpose last night might have been twofold. A, to continue to question the result of 2020, but then to use that to pressure people on the SAVE Act. But there just wasn't that much about 2020 and this tranche of documents, which were quickly, journalists were quickly going at them and trying to find the smoking gun. And a lot of the things they found were A, already publicly available, or B, dubious. So he really didn't seem to have the ammo to get to the SAVE Act or to persuade people about 2020 that I thought he might have. There wasn't a real compelling question there. We have this China thing, but what is that thing? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point. I think that there isn't a single simple headline that helps Trump's case in arguing that there is something fundamentally fraudulent about elections which has to be fixed. That wasn't really the evidence. In fact, even allies of his noted that there was not evidence, for example, of any foreign power flipping votes, which is, you know, an accusation that is, I think, widely made, particularly on social media. So to that extent, I think it did come out of the gates a little weakly. And it's notable to me, you know, even today, yes, it is big news, but one can almost feel the speech beginning to fade in the news cycle, which is presumably not what the president would have hoped for, because he, I think, wanted it to be seen as a much bigger deal than that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because part of my routine in the morning is to look at The Hill, News Nation, Fox News, CNN, CBS, the list goes on, New York Times, Washington Post. Anyway, this was not above the fold for everybody. This was the second or third or fourth story on many of the websites, and not just the liberal mainstream media. It just didn't seem to have the pop that I was anticipating.
Yes, I think that's right. And I don't think the blame, I'm not suggesting you're blaming the media. You're certainly not. You're simply stating how the media coverage went. But one of the subplots of last night's speech was the president's displeasure with the broadcast networks, at least two of which, NBC and ABC, didn't run the speech live in its entirety on TV, although they made it available on streaming. My point is that I don't think it is those decisions that caused that lack of pop that you discern. I think it was the content of the speech itself and the failure to really make a compelling case that has resulted in that lack of traction for the story.
I also feel compelled to just remind our audience, as I did earlier this morning, that the major networks, CBS, NBC, and ABC, did not broadcast an important speech for Barack Obama and one for Joe Biden, one about immigration and one about MAGA itself. The network said this is political, it's not news. They didn't cover it. They similarly did that to Donald Trump last night. I don't know how they knew, but it didn't seem like they were that far off the mark. Niall Standage is the White House reporter for The Hill. Niall, I think this is the first time you and I have talked on the radio. How are I appreciate your insight on all of this.
It's my pleasure. I enjoy our conversations, so I'm very glad to be here.
And I feel compelled to ask you if you had a rooting interest in the World Cup.
Yes, as an Irish person, my rooting interest in every World Cup is against England. So I'm very glad that they got put out in the semi-final. I was, I think, one of the only people in the Hill's office cheering Argentina on.
Shame. Shame on you, Niall Standage, yeah. White House reporter for The Hill. We'll visit again. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much. Take care.